And Matt Lodi joins us now from Cleveland. He is the owner and proprietor of Northeast Ohio Sports Insiders, which is neosportsinsiders.com. And Matt, thanks for joining us, man. How are you?
Hey, Bob. Good afternoon. How are you?
I'm great, buddy. Good to talk to you. You know, one of the big conversations today, I started the show with this, and I'll just get a minute of your thoughts on it, is what is more impressive in your mind, getting 27 guys in a row and pitching a perfect game, or what we saw last night from Scherzer, and we had seen only four other times in history, two from Clemens, one from Randy Johnson, and one from Kerry Wood?
Wow, that's a tough question to answer, just because, you know, like you said, it's not like we've seen 20 guys do what Max did last night. You know,
yeah.
I mean, it,
23
it really
to be
was
precise.
Something.
23 have had perfect games.
Right. Right. Exactly. So, I mean, I guess if you're looking at it from a numbers point of view, what Max did last night has to go down as being, you know, about as impressive as we've ever seen. And it's interesting because I was thinking this morning and I was watching the highlights of the game last night. You know, last year, Corey Kluber, I think had 17 against the Cardinals early in the season. It was up there. It was 16, 17, something around that.
He was steering with it.
And I could not believe, I had never been at a game covering it or as a fan as a young man where, you know, a guy had been that dominant. And I guess when you're just that good, I don't really think there's anything a hitter can do. And I think Max last night certainly, you know, had that type of outing. I mean, I've seen and covered. I was there the day that Irvin Santana no-hit the Tribe back in, I think it was 2012, somewhere along there, and the Indians even scored in that game, and I just didn't think that was all that impressive, to be perfectly honest, when he did that. Not that it wasn't impressive, but it just wasn't nearly as dominant, if you will, as a guy who gets a perfect game. But boy, you know, Max was in such a zone last night, and I was, oddly enough, I was actually watching that game rather closely because I was in my fantasy baseball league going up against Jordan Zimmermann, so I was kind of rooting for Max as that thing went along last night. And it was impressive. He was just, you know, like I said, when you have a night like that, when you have when you're pitching like he was last night, there just wasn't anything anybody was going to do against him. And it was certainly a sight to behold. And you made up a great point that this wasn't against a bad team. This wasn't against a team like maybe a San Diego or one of the weaker teams, or even a team that the Indians are going to see this weekend, like Minnesota, who's only got 8 wins on the season, or Atlanta. This was against a very, very good hitting team that, you know, is going to make some noise in this American League Central. At least we think they are. And certainly, that was about as good as you're going to get last night.
And to do it against his former team, of course, leaving, you know, Detroit last year, before last year, and going to the Nationals, is really an amazing thing too. You know, pitching against these guys for the first time. This is what he does to them. A couple of other numbers just to kind of put it in context. And you may or may not remember this, Lodi. Jim and I kind of were kicking it around last half hour. Max Scherzer darn near became only the second member of this club to throw a perfect game and have a 20-strikeout game. The only guy ever to have
wow.
one of each is Randy Johnson. Randy Johnson had a perfect game, and he has a 20-strikeout, 9-inning game as well. The only one ever to have one of each. Last year, if you remember this, in June of last year, Scherzer set down the first 26 straight Pirates in a June game.
Right, and then he
and then on the 27th out,
him.
You remember what happened?
Yeah, he hit him on the elbow. We talked
That's
about
right, and
year,
there was a big argument. We had a big discussion on the air about whether or not...
he leaned into the pitch.
He leaned into it and ruined the perfect game, right. That was a big, big deal. Here's another one just to kind of put a little historical context for this, because I really appreciate this stuff, and I know what a baseball guy you are, and you will too. Max Scherzer now also becomes just the 7th player with multiple 17-strikeout games in his career. And listen to the names he's with. Nolan Ryan with 8, 8 times 17 plus, which that's sick, by the way. Randy Johnson, 7. Roger Clemens, 3. Then he joins Pedro Martinez, Sandy Koufax, Bob Feller, and Max Scherzer now with 2.
Wow.
2 17 plus strikeouts games in his career. So that's some incredible company to be in.
Yeah, and you know, and like you said, again, it's just the impressiveness of those numbers. But as I went back before, you know, look at the last two teams that Max has dominated. You know, again, a Pirates team that's been in the postseason the last couple of years, even
right.
though they haven't, you know, gotten all the way. And as I said before, a team last night in Detroit that had been playing a lot better and certainly, you know, had their ups and downs a little bit, but really a pretty good hitting baseball team. Kinsler, V-Mart, Cabrera. You know, they've got some bats in that lineup that can make some noise. So to be able to do it against that team, that there's a lot to be said for that.
And we should also point out, by the way, that last year, in addition to losing that perfect game on the last pitch or on the last 27th out with a hit batsman, he got the next guy, which means he still got the no-hitter, which he had a second one against, or of 2015 against the Mets. So he had two no-hitters last year within one out of a perfect game and now a 20-strikeout game, for God's sake. And you know what? He's not even the best pitcher in baseball. Where would you rank him? If you could do, Matt, just you and I kick this around, do the top five pitchers in baseball today.
Wow. All right, give me a second here.
Throw some of the names right, you know, and whether we have them in order or not, but certainly we know they belong there. You know, names like Kershaw.
Well, I mean, Scherzer's up on the list. I mean, there's no question about it. I think he's got to be top five. I don't think there's any question about it. I think that he is, you know, because again, you know, Bob, as you look at it, you know, like on any given night, what he can do, you know, and that's really what you look at. And again, you know, would you want to see him be more consistent? You know, maybe, but I mean, it's not like this is a guy who, you know, he kind of came out of nowhere, if you will, you know, a couple of seasons ago in Detroit and earned, you know, that money. You know, Jake Arrieta right now, I think, is probably my one.
That's the definition of coming out of nowhere. That's the definition.
Yeah,
of it.
Because he, I mean, 6-0 in his ERA is under 1.5. I mean, this is not exactly.
It's 1.13. It's
1.13. Yeah. You know, I really like, I mean, I, you know, and even, you know, I don't get to, I get to see him quite a bit because he pitches for a team that we see a lot here in Cleveland, but I think Chris Sale is an underrated guy.
Jim players. And I brought him up. He's 7-0 and he's a constant. It seems like Matt, for the last 3-4 years, he's a constant contender for the Cy Young Award in the American League.
Yeah. You know, Clayton Kershaw, you can't forget about Clayton. You know, again, even though we don't see him daily because he's out in Los Angeles, I think he's got to be in the mix. And I'll tell you, the young guy who I like out of the list that I think you got to talk about, and I'm sure you've mentioned him, is the kid in Philadelphia, the Velasquez kid, who's really, you know, he's 4-1, and he's got some nasty pitches, and he's really started to come on. I think this year is kind of his coming out party. So, you know, do you add a guy like a Kluber? I mean, you know, if you want to talk local, even a Danny Salazar.
No, I don't.
So
no.
Well,
I mean, I'm talking the best of the best, not just the best.
Right,
of
and I agree with
best.
No, no, no. I agree with you. I'm just saying, like, if you know, for Indians fans, or you know, if you're talking Indians, you add a guy like those two guys right now. I would have to say no, but there's a lot of good pitchers out there, and again, you got to look at those kids in New York from the Mets, the Harveys of the world, and those guys who made the, you know, World Series a year ago. But right now, I'd have to say Arrieta's got to be my one. If I had one game, one pitcher, he's my one right now. I don't think there's any. I'd have to go with him just from the standpoint of domination, and also, like you mentioned earlier, what is his ERA? 1.12 or 1.3,
well,
somewhere
better,
around there.
That's just in 6 starts and 6 wins this year, Matt.
Right. That's
number,
what I mean.
The
yeah.
better number for him is in his last 27 starts last year to this year. 27 starts, 0.92. And
that's
they have
just incredible. I mean, that's really just
starts.
Incredible.
Yeah, it's a ridiculous.
I mean,
start.
I don't know how you get any better than that. I mean, that's got to be historically good.
Yeah,
you know,
it is. It's better in that stretch of 25 or 30 starts or whatever it is. It's better than I think anybody that's ever pitched for any stretch of 27 or 30 starts in their careers, including, you know, the legends, you know, including, you know, Koufax and Cy Young himself and Feller and Gibson and you name them. It's just it's really insane. And for him to do that, coming off of 4 very, very average to below average seasons as a Baltimore Oriole, to suddenly find something, whatever the heck he found in Chicago, is just a remarkable, remarkable story. Let's get back to the American League Central, though, and let's start talking a little bit about what's going on there. The Indians are kind of a mixed bag, man. Every day, it's something different. You know, they go out there, they lose, what, 5 out of 6 one-run games. They come home to a red-hot Detroit Tigers team that had won 5 straight going into that, and they sweep the Tigers. And then, by the way, speaking of a, you know, mixed bag, you know, those Tigers then go on a 7-game losing streak before it was snapped, you know, not yesterday, but Tuesday night. So the American League Central, with the exception of those red hot White Sox, who are sitting at the top, obviously pretty comfortably right now. You know, you got a lot of streaky teams there. Indians and Tigers and even Royals are all kind of grouped together there, 1 game apart. And all of them are just, you know, hot and cold. There's no consistency for many of them.
Yeah, and you know, and I was thinking obviously about yesterday, and I watched a majority of that game, and I think, you know, you go to yesterday, and the thing that bothered me so much about yesterday is the fact that that would have been a huge win. And I know that that's so easy to say because it just happened, and you know, you can't put too much emphasis on one game, but I mean, under the circumstances, it's a getaway game. They tie it in the ninth. You know, they should have actually taken the lead in the ninth if they could have gotten a fly ball there for Santana, but unfortunately, Carrera made a nice play at shortstop, which he's prone to do. But you have all those opportunities. I think they had at least two or three times in the extra innings to get the go-ahead run at that point home. And, you know, I don't like throwaway games like that. And that's kind of almost like what that felt like, because you almost felt like no matter what was going to happen, Terry was just going to stick with Cody Anderson. And I hate to think that because, you know, at the end of the year, if you lose the wild card by one game or, you know, something, the division by one game, you're going to go back and look at a game like yesterday and go, man, we had so many chances. They were winning 2-0. Salazar just couldn't, even though he had a ton of strikeouts, he threw a lot of pitches in five innings. I just hate that. That sort of like matter of fact type of loss yesterday. Like, well, you know, we went 16, we did our best, and we just didn't get the job done. I think there would be a lot of momentum, and I truly do, you know, unlike Terry Francona, who's forgotten more baseball than I'll ever know, and who always says that baseball's momentum is only as good as your next pitcher. I look at it differently. I think that they would have had some momentum coming into tomorrow night against Minnesota. And, you know, luckily for them, they've got the ultimate slump buster per se tomorrow night in Josh Tomlin, who's just incredible after losses. And I think, you know, you've got a bad Minnesota team who's only won eight games coming in, which also plays in their favor. But man, I hate losing a game like yesterday, because taking two or three against a Houston team that has scuffled to start the year, I think would have put, you know, that 5-1 homestand into even more perspective as, hey, this is a team that's got a little momentum right now.
Yeah, we're talking to Matt Lodi, who runs Northeast Ohio SportsInsiders.com, NEO SportsInsiders.com, talking a little bit about the American League Central. Yeah, you're right about the pitching, and it's always seems to be about the pitching for the Indians, and whether it's Cody Anderson or as you say, Josh Tomlin, the slump buster, it's phenomenal. But to me, and Jim talked about this at the start of the season, and not that it's new news, but it's never really going to be about the pitching, even though it's all about the pitching. And what we mean by that, of course, is we expect that Indians rotation to be solid. Fans expect it to get a good start almost most nights with that five-man rotation. Now, that's assuming, of course, it's all healthy, and we know Carrasco is out, et cetera. But it's always been about the lineup, they go as the lineup does, hot and cold. If they can give you a couple of crooked numbers with the staff they have, they're going to get wins. And if they don't and they go quiet, which they often do, you know, they're not beating anybody.
No, you're right. And yesterday was a prime example. You score the two runs. You know, Salazar unfortunately can't go much past the fifth. And then, you know, you slowly give the runs back. Springer gets a home run. They tie the game. And then they actually take the lead. And then, as again, you got to give them a little credit from the standpoint of they did rally in the ninth. But, you know, you're looking at a situation there where, again, you get that fly ball, and you're looking at, you know, bringing out the bottom of the ninth with a, you know, what is it, a 4-3 lead as compared to a 3-3 tie. You know, and that's happened all too often to this team. You know, they have actually been better this year, though, with runners in scoring position and getting the big hits when need be. But, you know, that's going to be a number that's going to be scrutinized all season long, because they've got to be better when the game on the line like yesterday. I thought, again, there was a more than one opportunity there in extra innings where they could have actually taken the lead and again, turned the ball over to try to get that win in the bottom of whatever inning it might have been. And unfortunately, they just, again, it's just too often they either strike out or just can't get the run home. And it's happened too often. And again, this offense is going to go as some of these big hitters go, the Napolis, the Santanas. You know, Lindor had a real tough series in Houston. You know, just had five hits yesterday, and again, you hate to lose a game like that, but hopefully they can get things turned around. I do like this next homestand. It's five games in 5 days against two teams that aren't very good in Minnesota and Cincinnati, and I think they're a little ticked off the fact that they dropped two or three in Minnesota a couple weeks ago, so hopefully they can come home and get some things straightened out here.
Now you're talking about offensive things, Matt, and it gets me wondering, you know, Michael Brantley, during April we heard, yeah, oh, the offense will be a little better when Michael Brantley gets back. Well, he's back now doing okay, but I'm honestly not seeing much of a difference day in, day out on this offense.
No, you're right. And again, Jim, I mean, when you look at Brantley, I think this is a work in progress. I kind of, you know, made sure, you know, I know I mentioned it more than one time that, you know, just because he was back in the lineup, I wouldn't necessarily say that this is going to be a juggernaut that's going to score six runs a night. I still thought it was going to be a lineup that would struggle. Certainly there's going to be some nights where you're going to have to play more or less small ball and win games 3-2, 4-3 as compared to 6-5. And, you know, I think at the end of the day, Brantley's kind of still, I don't think he's 100% quite yet. I think he'll even admit that he's not 100%, but I think in the next month or two, once you start getting really into the warmer months of June and July, you'll really start to see hopefully him get back to normal. I do like the way the top of the lineup is played offensively with Kipnis and Lindor, but, you know, you need to add one more guy. And, you know, it's interesting to me that the roster move on Saturday of taking Cody Anderson up and sending down Tyler Naquin. And, you know, I thought Tyler was, you know, he was in the 300s, but I think they really, first of all, they obviously want to keep him under control for one more year, which means he has to spend two more weeks in the minors at some point. But also, number two, I think they want to see a little more of Rajay Davis out in center field, where they've been kind of alternating between lefties and righties. So, we've seen Rajay Davis, and unfortunately, he just, I don't see it. You know, I just got to be perfectly honest. Nice guy, great locker room guy, but I just don't see it on a day-in, day-out basis where he's going to be your everyday center fielder. I think that, between Brantley and Naquin and obviously some of those other guys that are shifting back and forth in the outfield, they've got to get more productivity out there.
Yeah, Matt, I was going to ask you, who did you pick to start this, to win this division at the start of the season?
I picked Kansas City. I still think their pitching staff, their relief staff, I think is still the best in baseball, especially if they've got a lead going into the seventh inning. I picked the Indians to finish third. I still felt that there was enough deficiencies offensively, even though I felt their pitching staff was going to keep them in games. I just didn't feel that offensively they were going to score enough runs. I didn't have a ton of confidence in Mike Napoli, who, you know, even though his average isn't bad, he's hitting the ball a little bit. And again, my concern with the outfield, you know, when you were running out there, guys like Davis and Marlon Byrd and Chisenhall and Chizzy started the year on the DL too. I really wanted to see how this offense was going to develop. And so far I haven't been overly impressed. It's not been terrible. But they've got a ways to go, Bob, I think, before they're one of the top two or three teams in baseball, no question.
The reason I asked is, for most people, and Jim, I don't know if you agree, or even if you do, Matt, most people kind of, 40 is the number. You know, 40 is kind of the magic number. You take
You're
everything
right,
you see within the first, you know, month,
first
month and a half
games,
of the
sure.
season, and you kind of take it with a grain of salt as guys, you know, kind of get into midseason form and blah, blah, blah. But you pretty much know what a team is, whether they're just a hot start team or whether they're a slow start team. You pretty much know what they are at the quarter pole. 40 games out of 160, you know, it's the quarter pole. So we're a little early because I think the Indians have played 31, 32, 33, some of the other
teams.
Yeah, they're
16 and 15, right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so we're kind of getting close to that, and I'm a little concerned, to be honest with you, really for all three of those teams in the middle that I mentioned that are packed together, the Indians, the Tigers, and the Royals, because the White Sox, I guess both Chicago teams in either league, are dominating their leagues. And the White Sox don't look like this is just a hot start. Again, we're not at the 40 game mark yet to really say this is what they are, but man, this is more than a hot start. They look like a very, very complete team. Do you think they can keep this up? And if so, everybody's got a summer of chasing in front of them.
Well, you know, again, you look at that pitching rotation in Chicago with the White Sox and Chris Sale, who's been so good early on. And, you know, there's a couple guys that have pitched well there. And then also offensively, I mean, I think for me, Bob, with Chicago, it was going to come down to could they produce enough runs? And, you know, and I think so far they've been able to do that, obviously. Is it a mirage? I mean, we saw Minnesota kind of do this last year at the start of the year. Of course, they had the new manager with Paul Molitor, and now we've kind of see their true colors. I think Chicago's a better team this year than Minnesota was last year. So I would agree with you that, you know, they're going to have to be contended with. You can't just sit there and assume that they're going to, you know, be able to be handled, and then they're all of a sudden going to fall apart, per se. I think they're a better team right now, certainly, than they were going into last season. And I think that, you know, they're starting to prove that as well. So hopefully for the Indians, again, they've got a number of games against the Central Division. And the nice thing is they play better against the Central this year than they have the last couple years. So, but Chicago's one of the teams that when those two teams play, the Indians are going to have to find a way to take care of business. And that's going to mean having to overcome that pretty solid pitching staff up there in Chicago right now.
No question about it. Matt Lodi is our guest from NEOSportsInsiders.com. Talking a little baseball with us here. The Indians, streaky as can be in the first couple of months of the season, sitting right at about 500. Same thing as the Tigers, and it is going to be a very interesting summer to come. And again, we got about 8 or 9 games, maybe 3 more series before we kind of can get to that 40-game mark to say this is really what they are. But I hope they have a lot of growth in front of them. I hope they have some growth in that period of time so that the summer isn't a lost one before too long if those White Sox continue to play well and get out in front and are too far ahead to chase down. Matt, always a pleasure talking baseball with you. We appreciate it. Good luck with the site. We'll continue to send people out there to NEOSportsInsider.com and follow you guys at NEOSportsInside. Thanks, brother.
Thank you, my friend. I appreciate it.
You got it. Appreciate the chat. All right.